Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Bridget Kay. This half hour is presented by Empathic Practice, and they are responsible for the opinions expressed during the show.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. My name's Bridget, and I'm super excited to have Dr. Cassandra here from Empathic Practice. We were chatting a little bit before we came on the air, and she was like, yeah, you can call me Dr. Cassandra. I don't really like being, you know, too formal sometimes, so just call me whatever, which I love. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. It's really nice to be here.
Absolutely. I always love having new people on the show and learning all about what you do. I sometimes say, you know, I learn so much on here and I have the best job ever.
Cool.
Because I learn so much about so many different things on the expert panel. So we're going to be talking a lot today about empathic practice, about you, about what you do. So this is going to be a really great educational and informative piece for our audience. And I do encourage you, if you do have any questions throughout the program, you can give us a call, you can give us a text at 850-437-1620 is the number to call or text. I want to start out first, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your background. How'd you get here to Pensacola? And tell us how you got involved with empathic practice.
Sure. Well, my parents moved to Pensacola about 15 years ago. At some point between then and now, I accepted a scholarship to study medicine in Cuba. I was one of a group of about 100 Americans who studied there. And it's a really interesting, dynamic, hands-on approach to health. And when I got back to the States, I moved here. I had the only grandchild, so it's like I had to be around the grandparents.
Yeah, right? Of course.
Yeah, and I have fallen in love with Pensacola since I've been here. And then I discovered empathic practice, and our paths were really aligned. And, you know, when I came here, I realized my calling wasn't really allopathy or hospital medicine or that kind of, you know, pharmaceutical approach, that my calling was more along the lines of natural modalities. And so I've been, you know, that's not really a specialty here on its own. So I've been exploring different avenues, whether functional medicine, which is generally used by chiropractors, or Ayurvedic medicine, the 3,000 to 5,000 year old medicine from India. There are so many, we're rich with all of these wonderful modalities that provide us different looks into our own health.
Yeah, and I think that's super interesting. And I, you know, I'm not as familiar with natural medicine and kind of what that looks like. And I think, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is just now starting to kind of, I don't want to say come about, but a lot more people are starting to use this type of medicine, kind of going the natural route because it does work, it is effective. But I feel like a lot of people don't really know kind of where to start. If they want to kind of, you know, get off the medicine that they take every day and kind of transfer into this more holistic approach, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And do you kind of agree that it's sometimes people just don't know?
Sure. I mean, it's very complicated. And I don't want to compare something as magnificent as the human existence to a mere machine, but I like them to make the analogy between our health and a car. You know, you can overhaul the transmission if you need to. You know, if your car breaks down and you need a big intervention, there is that type of resource. But then there's also little things that we can do every day, like, you know, change the oil when it needs to be changed and wipe things down and learn the sound of your own motor, you know, so to speak. And so if we do both of these things, complementary medicine, then we can really enrich our wellness experience.
I know. And that's what you guys are all about at Empathic Practice, is discover your path to wellness,
yeah.
Whether it's, you know, mental or physical or whatever it may be. And I know I usually, you know, get into these topics with Felipe when he's on the show about, you know, how to adapt to change and how do you deal with anxiety? Because we are in that world right now.
Yeah.
And I've personally kind of dealt with this, you know, having that heightened anxiety because I have a fear of the unknown. And I think we're kind of all living in that stage right now where we don't know what next month is going to look like and things like that. And I think that can kind of take over a lot of people's fears right now.
Sure. Well, I actually just did a little series on anxiety during the month of July, and like my Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that. And so it's just everyday approaches. And I would say that for anybody battling anxiety or confronting anxiety, the best thing, your best resource is free, and that's oxygen. So what oxygen does is it couples with magnesium and it turns tryptophan into serotonin, right? And so that boosts our mood, and it also, you know, your respiratory system is the only thing that you can control, the only system of the body that you can control. So once you take control of that, it sends a message, and you do slow, deep breathing, it sends a message to that parasympathetic nervous system to be like, okay, call off the, you know, the fast heartbeat, call off the high blood pressure. We don't have a tiger that we're running from. This isn't fight or flight. This is a situation that we can manage. So just, and I can do an example of a breath. So you'd want to draw in for two and then out for four. Right? So if we're not huffing and puffing, there's kind of like a reset that happens. And that's a really great like first step. And then there are other things. We can also look into like, what are people's anxiety triggers? Is it a food that you're eating, or a, you know, caffeinated beverages? Caffeine's not for everybody. And some people also have a hard time like, you know, breaking down. Their metabolism has a hard time breaking down and eliminating caffeine. So you could have a cup of coffee or two in the morning, but you could be the type of person who just doesn't let that go and then ends up waking up in the night, for instance.
Wow. You know, I never thought about something like that. I know I sometimes think, hey, I can't have a cup of coffee at like 3 because that would happen to me because of the caffeine. But I didn't know that something like that could still be a trigger.
Yeah, it's all very individual. And that's really what I like to do. I like to do the detective work and figure out, and or maybe even like the matchmaking of, you know, an individual with their own health and their own path to wellness, because it's going to look different for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. 850-437-1620. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can give us a call. You can give us a text at that number as well, and we can answer any and all questions that you do have today. So kind of walk me through the process. If I've never, you know, explored natural medicine before, and I come to see you at Empathic Practice, you know, what does that kind of look like? What's the process?
So the first thing I would do is I would want to get to know what's going on. What are the imbalances that you're having, or what are these, you know, problematic things? And, you know, for instance, in Ayurveda, which I really appreciate, just because it's so such an old approach to health, and it's also so neatly organized, which I love. You know, so there are six different degrees of imbalance or disease. And really, our modern medicine only recognizes the last two. So a lot of times people will go in and say, you know, I'm having this constellation of symptoms or of manifestations, and my doctor says it makes no sense. And really, it doesn't. It's not on the radar of this, you know, intense interventionism. But it is something where if we change our daily habits, you know, we could approach it in a different way. For instance, let's take anxiety. So another way that we can boost serotonin is by having a routine. So early to bed, early to rise, you know, we are diurnal creatures. And sometimes I think that with, you know, these modern advances, we've kind of extracted ourselves from the environment, or the, you know, the biosphere that we were designed to live in. And we were designed to wake up with the sun and then go to bed when it's dark. And there's all this hurry and scurry and worry, and it kind of throws things off. And so I would say that that's the baseline. If people aren't getting really proper sleep, any other cycle in the body, whether it's, you know, your hunger and or your elimination, or, you know, for women, our cycles, all of those other cycles are going to get thrown off if our basic baseline sleep and wake cycle is off.
Yeah. And I think that's something that everybody can relate to. You know, I'm somebody that is very routine. I try to get up and do some sort of exercise and go to work and have my day completely planned out. And I feel as though sometimes when that routine is thrown off, I get more anxious. So okay. If I love when you guys come on, because I feel like I work out all my problems on the air. When there's something, you know, thrown off, off in my daily routine. I feel like other people can probably relate to this too. I start to, you know, have that worry or something like that. What are some practices that I can do in my daily life to kind of bring me back to my center?
Well, so in this type of, you know, this kind of tendency where if the routine is departed from, that creates anxiety, then that is something where we're going to look at more flexibility. We're going to look at more, you know, how to bend without breaking. So for in your instance, and you're already somebody who's doing exercise, which also promotes serotonin, and that is going to lower anxiety, and routine is going to do that too, particularly a morning routine. But then in an instance as this, I would say massage.
Ooh.
Yeah. If you can incorporate that into your morning routine, you want to use a food grade oil, because if you won't drink it, you shouldn't put it on your skin, because the skin is a huge organ of absorption. So it should be like some kind of food grade oil. And then you want to go up and down on the long bones, round and round on the joints, and then just kind of slather yourself in order to, and just think of it as lubricating all of the nerve endings too. You're doing the skin, but also you're stimulating the nerve connections and the synapses and everything. You're making more fluid.
Okay, so we were talking a little bit about oils now.
Yeah.
And is that something, because I feel like lately I've been hearing a lot more, probably within the last like couple of years, about, you know, these natural oils and essential oils and treatments like that. And I mean, they seem to work for a lot of people. So can we kind of talk a little bit about that?
Yeah.
I mean, what are the benefits of these, you know, I call them essential oils. Am I saying the right term for
that's
that?
Exactly correct. So essential oils is a very concentrated plant extract. So it is a form of phytotherapy, or I should say herbal medicine.
Okay.
And it is so concentrated that you know, you can't consume it, but just smelling it, there are actual physical bits of the anatomical brain that pass through the skull and are sort of embedded in our nasopharynx. So when we smell something, it goes directly, I mean, it's touching our brain, and those molecules pass directly into our brain. So it is a very potent therapy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what are, I mean, could I, if I was having any sort of issue, what would I benefit from using this type of method?
So let's go to this broad and like very popular experience, which is anxiety, which we all experience, especially these days. So I would recommend lavender. It's really great. I keep it in my purse. I use it with my kids or when I, you know, whenever there's a moment of stress, even stress headaches, like tension headaches, where you can feel all the muscles in your head get tight, that's really great for that. And I do want to caution everybody to use natural, therapeutic grade essential oils as opposed to artificial scents, which then have the opposite effect.
Really?
Yeah. So artificial scents are, you know, synthetic chemicals, and then they're doing the same thing. They're reaching our brain. But they are not substances that we are adapted to. And so there's a lot of research being done now into endocrine disruptors and other ill effects from artificial fragrances, such as, you know, room sprays or room freshener, air fresheners, dryer sheets, perfumes that we put right on our thyroid gland, on our neck. So...
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, now that you're saying, so you're basically, what my mom is ordering off Amazon to put in her diffuser is probably not what I should be rubbing all over my body or even diffusing into my air.
Well, if she's using a natural essential oil in the diffuser, which I use,
okay,
then that's okay. You want to use a carrier oil, because if you put it directly on your skin, it's very potent.
Yeah.
It could burn.
This is like what, you know, I don't think, I think it's like $9 on Amazon. So I really don't think it's probably what we should be doing. So I hope I'm going to send her this segment, and that's for sure.
Okay,
do you have
thanks.
Any that you recommend, or could we come, you know, see you to get, you know, these types of things? And could you kind of, if I come to you and you do this assessment with me, you could recommend, you know, these different scents and what you use them for, because I have sometimes people telling me, you know, you put this on your temples if you have a headache, or
right,
this will make a cold go away, or things like that. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think that a lot of these are good, and they're fairly harmless, you know, if you want to go ahead and do the peppermint on the temples with a headache and that kind of thing, that these kind of broad suggestions are fine. However, there are different types of headaches. There are different types of headaches, and everybody has their own unique constitution too. And so your headache might be for a different reason or might have a different presentation from my headache or somebody else's headache. And so we want to specify, and we want to make sure that it's the right approach for each individual.
Absolutely. We do have a text message question that came through. Cool. Somebody wants to know, does the lavender work well with a diffuser?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've always heard that scent, you know, really calms down anxiety and can promote sleep as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it does. It is sleep promoting.
And I used to put, I don't think I was using the right type, but I would put it on my pillow. And
that's
I don't
great.
Know if that's, I mean, is that something that you can do? I mean, I guess you can use it for anything, what you're saying.
Yeah, you can use it for a lot of things that to promote relaxation. So if in order to achieve better sleep, you need relaxation, great. And if in order to achieve better digestion, you need more relaxation, then you can use it there too. My child was experiencing nighttime nausea, and we were keeping the lavender under the pillow and then just smelling it.
Wow, even for nausea?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what are some other things if I experience? I know I get migraines, and other people deal with obviously other things, like, I mean, nausea, things in their day-to-day. I mean, what are some other approaches I could use naturally?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's just so much. For instance, with postpartum work, I really love to give Texas cedarwood oil to address trauma.
Wow.
And that trauma could be physical or it could be psychological. Yeah.
Texas cedarwood.
Yeah.
This is already like relaxing me.
Oh.
I was like, I'm ready to go home and diffuse all of this in my home or anything like that. What about for migraines, for instance? That's just something that I deal with. And I have, you know, gone to the doctor's office, you know, so many times throughout my life. I started getting this when I was in eighth grade, and it was very scary getting, you know, the visual changes. And we thought it was something with my diet. We thought it, and they would put me on all the medicine and things like that. And I would take a pill every day. Is there other alternative ways that I could treat these migraines before they happen without, you know, taking a pill every day? I don't remember the name of what I take, but we thought it was hormonal, and then we thought it was something in my diet, and it was getting to the point where it was super bad and kind of, you know, altering my day-to-day life.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Especially for a kid.
Well,
we would have to look at where on the head the migraine is, because sometimes they're in the temple, or sometimes it's all over, like from the eyes all the way down the back of the neck. Sometimes it's here in the, mm-hmm. It starts in the sinus cavity. Typically migraines, I would say, just from our brief interaction so far and the other things that you've mentioned, you might want to try rose. But that's just for you. I wouldn't recommend that to every single person out there.
Absolutely. We're talking a lot about, you know, holistic medicine. Obviously, we're talking to Cassandra from Empathic Practice, 850-437-1620. If you want to give us a call or give us a text. And we're talking a lot about, you know, essential oils, but what other types of medicine is out there that are natural remedies?
So what I really am into is functional medicine, which kind of puts the tech, instead of putting it into like pharmaceutical research, it puts the tech into diagnostic research. So all kinds of cool new genetic tests, or, you know, something very specific to the microbiome of the gut, those kinds of investigations. Although I would say that with enough clinical experience, one can sort of gather that, like if you have a clinical enough eye, you can sort of gather that without doing all the tests. But what the tests do are kind of confirm to the, you know, to the client, this is what's going on, and here we have it on paper. And so that's very reassuring, because I feel like a lot of people do need that reassurance after kind of searching the wilderness for
yeah.
so long and not finding answers. So that's something that's pretty cool. And then what functional medicine does is it looks so deep into the diagnostics that then we're able to say, okay, let's course correct using, you know, the same kind of lifestyle measures, whether that's routine or diet or, you know, whatever it is, or supplements, or, you know, it's biohacking, which is cool.
No, I think it's all super interesting. And I like how it's more of, you know, kind of a whole lifestyle change rather than, you know, you're going to have to take this for 2 weeks and then, right. then you'll be cured or whatever it is. Or you do have to take, you know, a mix of this, this, this every day in order, you know, to not have a disaster in your life. And I think, you know, making the shift over to these more natural remedies, I think for longevity is probably, you know, amazing. I know we have, you know, HIPAA and stuff. You can't get too specific, but is there anything that comes to mind? Any huge success stories that you have that you can share with our audience of people that have just been, you know, changed by these remedies?
Well, and I won't even violate anybody's, you know, confidentiality, and just saying my own, my own health. I, you know, I got into a very intense field, and I can kind of be an intense person and very motivated, and just sort of like pushed myself. I signed up to start a master's degree program the same week that I gave birth.
Oh my gosh.
So,
all right.
So yeah, and that sort of push. We don't really hear enough. Doctors in the medical field caution us against that, against burnout. Why? Because they have burnt themselves out.
Wow.
And it's their level of intensity that, you know, and it's encouraged, you know, we're sort of encouraged to just like get back up and go out there and, you know, eat the world. But we're not meant to do that. We're not designed to do that. There's a reason that we traditionally took 6 weeks postpartum to heal ourselves and to bond with the baby and to do all of these things and to get right back into life as we knew it. Life as we knew it doesn't exist anymore. So life as we know it is starting a new chapter, and it's good to honor that and to take those moments and to, you know, live in the present instead of the future. And just to honor our bodies and our, you know, and our moments.
Yeah. To really listen to what's going on.
Exactly.
And I think that is something that a lot of people struggle with. And like you said, you signed up for a master's degree program the same week you gave birth. Like, you're like a superwoman.
I don't know, but it was retrospectively, if my now self could tell my then self to just like chill out and enjoy it, I would have.
Yeah, I don't even have kids, and those aren't even on the horizon for me yet. But I just know looking forward that once I have a child, I'm going to be like, all right, I'm taking a nap. Or I hope to be. I don't know if that actually is how that works, but
and having a lot
I hope to slow down.
And I wish I could, you know, and I think that birth is one of those things. And birth is a passion of mine. Postpartum care is a passion of mine. And it was because of my own experience. And so I think that there's a reason that traditionally we had that, you know, village of mothers and grandmothers and aunties and everybody who was around us and taught us and cared for us and like mothered the mother.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that is so important and something that we need to get back to.
Oh, absolutely. People just need to slow down.
Yeah.
And I hear of so many, you know, moms, new moms. I have a lot of friends that are having babies. I'm kind of in that age group where it's happening all the time. And they really do struggle with slowing down. You kind of have to feel like you have to conquer everything. I know that's something that I think a lot of women deal with. And so you can have so many benefits from coming to see you at Empathic Practice, kind of getting that diagnostic and seeing how you can make these changes in your everyday life to be better for that longevity. I like when you said, you know, slow down and listen to your body. I feel like not enough of us do that.
Yeah.
Especially now.
I think going back to that car analogy, I think sometimes we want to just shut off the check engine light instead of paying attention to what's really going on.
Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, I would benefit from coming to see you and kind of you discovering what I could make changes and how I could, you know, move forward. And I think that's something that I really encourage all of our listeners to do is go see them at Empathic Practice. You guys have such a great team of people. Everybody that I've met has been so welcoming, so wonderful, and really there to help your clients. I mean, in any way, shape, or form that you can do. I mean, coming on the show, providing all of this information for our audience. I know Felipe does so many things on social media, on YouTube. I mean, how to meditate. That can be something that I know a lot of people think, you know, I don't really know where to start. So they have so many great resources to help your overall wellness.
Absolutely.
So why don't you tell us, you know, where you're located, what your phone number is, the Facebook, all the good stuff.
All right. Well, Empathic Practice is at 801 East Cervantes. And it's just right in the middle of town. And let's see. Oh gosh,
check them out on Facebook.
Yeah,
I know you guys have a Facebook, YouTube.
Empathic Practice, YouTube, Instagram. My handle there is a medical matriarch. Just honoring that like maternal space of health and wellness. And yeah, come check us out.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. If you missed any of this segment or any of their previous shows, they're going to be available on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, basically anywhere you stream content, also at newsradio923.com. Thank you so much. It's such
thank
a pleasure.
You.
What's going on, Mark?
A Pensacola man accused in a violent outburst over being asked to wear a mask. Story after 5:00.